Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show at the Respect 90 Try Not to Suck Celebrity Golf Classic. It's Joe Madden's charity golf outing. We are at the Bryn Mawr Country Club. I'm Connor McKnight. Mark Grody is in for Dan Bernstein. And we've got just a panel of radio greatness going on right now. Pete LeCocq, Bobby Dernier, and Gary Matthews all joining us as these guys are getting ready. You guys are all prepped. You've stretched. You've done the pregame routine. You're ready to tee off for this whole thing? Or are you going to go get that done in the yoga pants later on?
We got the Bloody Marys. We got the screwdrivers. We're all set to go.
That's how you loosen up.
We got
up
the Maui gyms.
Event. That's the way to do it.
You golf lefty, Pete?
I do golf
you
do. Lefty.
I thought
yes,
maybe
I do.
You're one of. It seems like everybody who is actually lefty golfs righty and vice versa. But you're the lefty.
And I'm a left guy.
And you were saying to me right before we started that you're the best golfer out of these.
No,
three.
Bobby Dernier's the best golfer.
Bobby is
not
okay.
Me.
Okay,
Bobby's on the stick. Today?
Yeah.
He's always on the sticks.
Well, hey, look, it's gin, handicap, right? and our great friend Jerry Lasky, who's sitting right over here, hosting this great day. And also, Gary and I get to stay there at his house, right, Gary?
Yeah, get to hang out, which is good. Looking forward to the tournament.
I don't think you guys realize how cool this is for me right here, like with all three of you gentlemen, but in particular Bob Dernier and Sarge Gary Matthews, because I'm 11 years old when it's 1984, and that team, that was the first team that captured my heart, the Daily Double. I mean, where's Sandberg? Is Sandberg going to be here? I mean, we got the number one and number three hitters in that lineup right now, but Sandy, as he was once called and then became Rhino, is not here right now, but I love that 1984 Cubs team until the end.
Can I tee him up just a moment?
Please. That's what I was trying to do
away,
for him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I let off. I know he's listening. He's probably sitting in his restroom, whatever that resting is.
He's and Instagramming
so,
right now.
Yeah, he's resting somewhere. So Gary hit behind him, and all I know is I heard from Jerry, is Rhino coming? I said, well, I hope. I think I mentioned it to him. And he mentioned something about crickets. And I thought, gee, I get the same thing. Sometimes I leave a message, I hear nothing.
He's a quiet man. He's very reserved, you know,
yeah,
Sarge?
Yeah, Rhino is. I was thinking he would be here, but you never can tell when he would show up. Practical joker he is as well.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Been that way all his life.
Really?
You know? Oh,
anniversary,
yeah.
By the way. I got to mention, he claimed anniversary, Margaret, you know, and I get
yes.
it.
Yes.
I'm good with that. A trip, maybe? They had somewhere to go.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the life at home matters. The Respect 90 Foundation, which is why you guys are all out here for the Celebrity Golf Classic today, provides assistance to at-risk children and families in the areas. Joe and Jay, his wife, call home, including Chicago, Tampa, Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Mesa, Arizona, and Southern California. So it's a really cool event to be out here for. And Sarge, like you mentioned, this is the weather to have this kind of thing in. Yesterday, or last year rather, a little bit warm. This is nice.
Yeah, this is really nice. I think the course is in really great shape. But while we're talking about Joe, did you get a chance to see him throw out that first pitch last night?
Who's going to talk to him about that?
I mean, seriously.
Whose job is
it? I mean, he threw it. I can tell you one thing. He did not give up. He was going to make sure that he was not the worst. But he's going to be in that category with a couple of those throws.
For a second, I thought Respect 90 was like, do it 90 times.
Hey,
I thought
you know,
was his plan here.
Try not to suck, but he did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like being married. You know, it's like being married. Gary came to my wedding. It was my third wedding, my third marriage. And he said, you got a lot of nerve. And I said, you always knew I was a good two-strike hitter.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Hey, you know what I say about three weddings? That the more the merrier. That's the way life should be.
Yeah. Well, you know what I say? Good luck.
So obviously you guys have to give Joe a little bit of hell for that. I mean, that was...
Are you kidding me? Brutal. It was brutal. But he took it, he had those sunglasses on, and he went like, one more. And he knew that he was going to get it from a lot of the guys on the team. But it was a ball, but at least he didn't bounce it.
Sure, sure. I watched most of the Sunday night broadcast last night. Sometimes that broadcast itself is a little bit tough for me to listen to, but stuck with it all night last night. And mentioned, saw too, you know, Joe kind of wore it a little bit there because they had the footage for him. And really the news of it is the Cubs won a road series for the first time since the end of May. I know you guys keep close tabs on this. I just, from each of you, I'd love to know, I'm sure there was a time, whether it was minors or majors, where you, the squad just could not get away from home and win a ball game. Not so much what happens during that, but how does it feel to be in that? And what's the conversation while it's happening?
Well, you know, with me, when I was first with the Cubs, we didn't do very well. You know, we were lucky to finish in fifth. But then I got traded over to the Royals, and we were winning over 100 games every year. And so it's just it makes a big difference. And winning is contagious. And, you know, the pressure of not winning a series on the road, sometimes that can be a lot of pressure on these guys. But they played really well last night.
Does it eat at you? I mean, does somebody just have to kind of pop the balloon at some point? Does it happen where you pop the balloon and then you realize the next day somebody goes out there and has a rough one as a starter and you're like, oh, we didn't do it right. Like, we need to do it again.
Let me say this. The one loss they had in Philadelphia, when Rizzo came out and said it was the worst loss he's ever had, those are the ones that eat at you because those are the ones you feel you should win. You've already counted that as a victory. And then for them to come back, end up giving the Cubs, the Phillies, I should say, a lot more momentum. Now, all of a sudden, they're in the wild card conversation. So I think it has to do with the loss that you would have. I mean, you'd almost rather lose 10-1 than to lose a game dramatically like that, because what it does, it just gives you like a punch in the stomach. Yeah. But that's why you play 162, so you're able to bounce back, hopefully. But good for them. They end up winning a series, which they haven't won in a long time. And it doesn't matter what team. Any team winning the series is a good thing.
You know, Gary and I both have a little extra Philly-Chicago thing, right?
That's right. That's right.
So when I look at it, I looked at it like, hey, kind of good for Philly, you know? They needed that. And for the Cubs, it's August, so I thought maybe they needed that too. You know, we got our butt handed to us. The Phillies swept us, I remember, in 84 at Wrigley.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Oh, early in the year, and it was like, hey, man, you know, are we
right?
You know, we paying attention? So you did, and then that propelled us maybe to kind of play better, as Sandberg would like to say. So we did, and I think the Cubs maybe recognize right now they need to play better. So this might help them.
What propelled you guys, if we're going to do this, if we're going to do 1984, what propelled you guys was a four-game sweep over the New York Mets at Wrigley Field. Maybe my favorite moment during that whole season.
Yeah, Sarge threw somebody out at the plate.
Oh, he did? Who'd you throw out at the plate?
One of my really good friends, Keith Hernandez. But you know what? It is they become really big series. And I think at the time, they had a younger ball club.
The Mets.
We were able to actually intimidate, you know, a little bit more. But I remember that we end up winning against Doc.
Doc Gooden.
We're the first team to beat him, and I'll never forget it because we knocked him out, and he was sitting over in that dugout, and he wasn't happy. And I pointed that out to Keith. I went like, hey, man, this could be our last victory against this kid here. Just with his demeanor and the way that he was acting. But you're right, huge series.
And Pete LeCocq, did you not hit a grand slam against Bob Gibson at one point in time in your career?
I did. Actually, it was on Bob Gibson Day, and it was the last pitch that he threw in the major league. So, yeah, it was a long series. It started when I was really young. I walked him off when I was 19 years old at Wrigley Field. And then I went back to St. Louis, and he hit me the first two times up. Well, and then for the next couple of years, he just kept hitting me and not, you know, if I get a hit, he'd hit me. And then 3-2 count, you know, in the ninth inning, 6-6 tie on Bob Gibson Day. And then after that, about 10 years later in an old-timers game, he comes running out to warm up, and he drills me in an old-timers game.
Of course.
He's got issues.
Sounds like it.
Throws at his kid in a father-son game, it sounds like. I wonder, you know, from each of you guys, too, it's Pete LeCocq, Bobby Nernier, and Gary Matthews sitting down with us here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We're at the Respect 90 Try Not to Suck Celebrity Golf Classic, and that, as you can hear in the background, is one of the carts that's going to be trucking beverages around to you guys a little bit later on in the morning. We just got done with a series against the Pirates, the Cubs did. And some of the conversation around the Pirates has been interesting to me all season long. They have years now. They have a philosophy of pitching high and tight, pitching up and in, and not being afraid of doing that. It's a new brand of baseball, and you know, hitting guys isn't looked at the way it used to be, which I think is fine. If you guys think differently, I would imagine. But there is value to throwing tight. There is value to establishing the inner third. I just wonder if so many teams seem to have a problem with the Pirates now and their inability to control when they go in. I wonder if that's as visible to you guys as it is everybody else, or if you see it a little differently.
I don't think anybody kept a closer eye on that than Sarge, so I'll let him have it.
It's the pitching inside and not being able to pitch inside. You know, you can't throw a strike, or if you're going inside, you're going up near someone's head. That's just not right. But as long as you pitch inside, even if you get hit and it's not up at your head, you know, that's the way the game is played. But when I see some of these guys, in particular, Cody Bellinger, who's having just a MVP-type year, he actually winds up to hit the ball.
Yep.
And he has no fear at the plate, as in Yelich. But good for them for figuring it out, because they don't pitch inside. And those guys are able to hit the ball middle and away. So, I mean, those are the guys that you can see that and know the strike zone that are having some of the better years, though. I don't care about pitching inside as long as you know how to pitch inside. And the guys today, because it's middle and away, you know, their bread and butter is catcher sitting on the outside corner, as opposed to Bob Gibson and his heir, Sandy Koufax, where they're able to sit inside 2-2, 3-2, and come in and get a strike. I think for me is the main difference.
Yeah, one thing your listeners might be interested in, you too. I mean, you played, right?
Did I?
At some point.
I played in high school.
We all played,
Lake
right?
Park. Yeah, Go Lancers.
High school does not count.
No, it doesn't. I played for 2 years and couldn't even make the varsity.
Let me just throw that in there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I think Pete hit 530 in that senior year.
Yeah, we're talking about high school, so, yeah.
Anyway.
But, you know, I had some good players. We had Robin Yount, Rick Dempsey, Rick Arbach, Kevin Kennedy, Guy Hansen, Larry Durker, Rick Durker.
And your high
all
school
went
team?
To Taft High School.
Jesus. My God.
Now, even my buddy Jerry Lasky over there, he played. And so we're in the backyard, right? Somebody threw a pitch too fast, and it almost hit us in the head, right?
Uh-huh.
And maybe made you mad. Or if it did hit you, you made it quit, right? You're done. Well, that's still going on every day, okay? Mm. If you're not paying attention, these guys throwing 95-plus, they come up in here with some, you know, giddy up on it. You better be able to get out of the way. And if you want to get hit, you know, stand close to the plate, which I did. They did not want to hit me. Because all
you get on base and you steal.
Right. Exactly. I mean, but they wanted to hit him once in a while, or him.
Yeah, well, and as it pertains, like we're talking about Cody Bellinger and the power that exists both in arms and in the bats these days. When, you know, when I was watching you two play, the way it worked was Bob Grenier gets on base, Ryan Sandberg, maybe, you know, he developed the power, but maybe he moves the guy over, and then Sarge comes up, knocks him in, maybe Keith Moreland does the same thing. There was a small ball element that existed. Small ball is virtually gone these days. What do you guys think of the state of baseball? You must be itching to get out there, considering that I think there's no doubt about it that the baseball is juiced.
Well, you know, with the Royals, Whitey Herzog, he was definitely a small ball guy.
Yes.
Our leadoff guy was Willie Wilson, and then we had Hal McRae, and then we had George Brett. You know, we had hitters all the way down through the lineup, and small ball was a big thing. Willie'd get on, he'd steal, Hal would get him over, and George would knock him in. And then we'd have good pitching, good defense.
Yeah, there was all like those darn Cardinals. I hated those Cardinals teams of the 80s because they just, every one of those guys, like, stole 20 bases, and then they'd have one thump, like back in the day, they'd have one thumper on the team, like Jack Clark or Bob Horner, and then the rest were jackrabbits. It has changed so much these days.
Yeah, you can put George Hendricks in that mix as well. Those guys had a speed game back then, and if you looked like you were going to bobble the ball, they were just... I mean, jackrabbits from Ozzie Smith.
Sarge used to say, the ball's in left center, we're going to pick it up. And he'd holler at me, holding the three.
Everybody. Nobody can steal like Tommy Herr and Terry Pendleton, Willie McGee. You mentioned Ozzie Smith. Like, God, I'm getting annoyed right now. Connor, take it over.
No, all right, I'll give last one for you.
I'm sitting this one out.
Fellas, awesome to have you all. I just wonder, this Cubs team is a different version than the one we've seen over the last couple of years. And one of the things that Mark said is different is they've had a number of guys, whether it's Ian Happ or now Albert Almora, who's been sent down to AAA, Addison Russell, who's been up and down. Guys that have had to fight that up and down kind of nature of baseball, having to go down to AAA and come back up. Each of you guys, you know, vested veterans in a clubhouse. I wonder, you know, the kind of advice that you'd give a kid, you know, who you'd seen go out and then come back. You know, something that first thing that you'd say to him if he looked at you and said, "Hey, you know, I'm back now. I think I got it. What do you need to hear? What do you need to say to a kid like that?"
Well, I got to tell you, one of the players on the team for me, not getting really sent down, but obviously having his feelings hurt, not having the years he should, having a real good year this year, Jason Hayward.
Sure.
And that would be, I would tell the kid, never give up, never let anybody say you can't do it, and then keep striving. And Joe's done a great job in really kind of keeping him up, putting him in situations. But the ball he hit the other night, left field, line drive, out of the ballpark, he's got 18, 19 home runs right now. I'm really, really happy for him. He's a great guy. You know, he gets it. Had a little bit of a long swing. He's shortened it up big time this year. So I'm really happy for him. And the advice, again, I'd give the kids is just never give up and keep at it no matter what.
Bob?
Yeah, I'm a little partial because I like that leadoff guy, maybe playing center field.
Yeah.
And when we won it, we had Dexter, and I love that guy, and that style of offense. But either way, no matter how it goes, if you've got Chris at the top in front of Anthony and the rest of the guys that can run a little, and so we can first to third them, we can play that game you talked about, Mark.
Yep.
And that style of play, not just a three-run homer, then I like it. But we got to be solid defense up the middle nightly.
Fellas, great having you all. Hit them straight. Enjoy your time out here at the Respect 90 Try Not to Suck Golf Tournament. Really appreciate you coming by.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Pete LeCocq, Bobby Dernier, and Gary Matthews joining the Bernstein and McKnight Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.